Okay, let's start discussing this, how we can produce this SpaceX Omega 1 I was mentioning in my lecture, and which is the result of the joint work with Jordi and Stevo. But let me start first with giving you an evidence why such a construction is difficult. And this essentially was clarified to me last Saturday. Let me start with a definition. The definition says the following, that a Sauder basic sequence is said to be almost surely unconditional if the following happens. For all sequence of real numbers, if I consider the set A corresponding to this sequence, so this subset of real numbers, which consists of all sequence of sciences, such that summation En An Sauder base say Xn exists, then what I want this, then this set satisfies the 0-1 law, meaning that in the sense of the measure, the measure of this set is either 0 or 1. That's my definition. Okay, and I call this almost unconditional. You understand that if Xn is unconditional, then this set An, or this happens for all, okay? This set An is either the empty set or the whole space. Okay? Is for measure, whatever. I state for measure, but what I'm going to tell you is for either case. Okay. So my problem was the question which asked several colleagues here is the following, that suppose that we have a weakly null sequence, if the sequence always contains a subsequence, which is almost unconditional. And I asked also Stevo Saturday evening in a cafe, and then it took him something like 3 seconds to answer. And the answer is yes. And the reason is very simple, at least known his theorem, that if you have a set which has the following property for each element of this set, which Borel say, first of all, and which clearly these sets are Borel, and for every element of this set, if you change and find many positions, the signs, then this remains inside of this set. And this clearly happens here, because this sum is infinite, doesn't matter what you change here, okay? Then this set satisfies 0-1 law. So the result is not only that my question has affirmative answer, but the fact is that every Sauder basic sequence is almost unconditional. And I believe that this describes exactly the difficulty to have a space not contain any unconditional basic sequence. So let me go now to explain a little bit how such a space is constructed. I will start with a general definition of HI type norms. By this I mean I'm going to give you a very, very general definition, and this definition results HI norms or norms on spaces which does not contain unconditional sequence, but also what I'm going to explain tomorrow, you may have results of spaces which are unconditionally saturated. I mean, it's very general, the definition. So for the definition, I need first to start with, okay, suppose for this point and after that K is an ordinal, and also we have C00K, this consists of all F from K to R find supported. And now consider a family F into the finite, which is a subfamily of the finite subset of K. And in all of the cases, otherwise we are going to take spaces which contains little one, we have to assume that this is compact in the point west. Meaning that the characteristic of them inside of 0, 1 to the k is a compact set. And when we have F, let us define what is an F subset of K is F admissible. If you can write F as union Fi I equals 1 up to a number D, Fi are going in this direction. I mean, one is after the other. We discuss for ordinal, so we have the natural order sitting there. And you can find, allow me to set this G. You can find F in the family F, which is interpolates inside of this, meaning that F is something like this, A1 less than A2 less than AD. And then you have something like this, A1, F1, A2, F2. And here you have AD, FD, something like this. You can interpolate an element of the family F between the elements of the decomposition of the set G. Probably here I have to put GI, but doesn't matter, it's fine. Now, I gave this definition in 1987 in order to introduce the generalized Cherson spaces. We knew very few things that period. And a definition, in order to define this, you had to describe what is the SXC admissibility. And also in a paper with Eligiani, we introduce a notion of convolution between two compact families on the natural numbers. Of finite subsets of N. And this is nothing else, sometimes it is described this and by this, and this is nothing else but all f such that f is union of fi I equals 1 to d. Each fi belongs to the family n, and f is m admissible. And the important thing, which is also more or less you use there, is that the result of this is always a compact family of subsets of n. Somehow you have a kind of operation between compact families. I have no idea what this means. I never looked on this. Probably nobody of us have a look on this. And to explain, most of the consideration we have concerning these families, I mean, at least the team sitting here and I, is always because give us some tools to study Banach spaces. I mean, the things we never study, the things itself. Now, so this is some things concerning the families. And the second, I want to discuss a little bit, this is much shorter, is what we mean given now F compact family of finite subsets of K or kappa, much better kappa. Kappa is the ordinal, and given some theta. And you have a theta which is sitting between 0 and 1. Now, the f theta operation on C0, 0 kappa is the following. Is an operation that maps, okay, is the following. You take f1 less than f2 less than fd, which is f admissible. I'm going to tell you quickly what I mean by this. Okay, I move from sets to the function. By this I mean simply that the support of f1, support f2, support fd are f admissible. And then you map this to theta times the sum of fi I equals 1 up to d. This, the whenever we say that we apply a theta operation, we mean that all the time you take something which is f-admissible, and you correspond to this a vector in which clearly belongs also to C0, 0, kappa. Okay, now. I'm going, after this preparation, I'm going to define, to describe these norms. I start with three things. I start with a G, which is subset of C0, 0, kappa. I start with a sequence Fj, and I start with a sequence theta j. Now, what usually happens, I mean, I'm going to tell you a few things about G, but what usually happens, this Fj is of increasing complexity, and theta j decreases to zero. I mean, the general picture is that this is increasing the sense of complexity, and this is decreases to zero. I mean, all the constructions use this idea. However, in the definition, you don't need to say more things because it's a general definition. And now, let me describe a little bit G. G is, has the following property. G is symmetric. Plus minus the natural base, let me put a star here, because this is going to consider the dual. So plus minus the natural base is subset of G for all, I'm listing some properties, for all F which belongs, for all G which belongs to G, G of N belongs to minus 1, 1 intersection with the rational numbers. I think that's enough. So G consists of elements which has supreme less or equal to 1, and also they have rational values, okay? And it is symmetric and contains the basic. Observe that the cardinality of G is less or equal kappa always infinite, so to the cardinality of kappa. It's exactly equal. Kappa is always considered. Now, what's the set K? Okay, we shall define a set K which is minimal. It's a big one, this one. That's kappa. I'm going to escape. This is a big one. We shall define a set K. No. We shall escape quickly from K, kappa to go to omega 1. Don't worry. We shall define a set kappa, which is, excuse me, we shall define. You did with this guy yesterday. We shall. A set K, set which is minimal, with respect to the following three properties. Okay, the first property is that this set G is contained to the set kappa, the set K, excuse me. The second property is that kappa K is closed. For all F to J, theta to J operations. What I mean by this, I mean simply that for all f phi I equals 1 to D, subset of K, f to J admissible, we get that theta to J summation I from 1 up to DFI belongs also to K. And the third property, let me write here better. And the third property Yes, I mean psi. And let me add a few things here. You're absolutely right. G is subset of K. K is symmetric. Yes, I mean it's closed on signs. If something belongs there, minus of that belongs there. Symmetric. And the last one is that it is closed on the restrictions of intervals. And please add the same property to the set G. G has the same property, otherwise you are going to get something more. I prefer, so G has this property plus E G belongs to G for all E subset of kappa interval. I want this property. Okay, so let me start again. G is contained, K is symmetric, and whenever I have an interval on kappa and restrict a functional on this interval, this belongs also to the set kappa. The second is that to the set K. The second is that K is closed for all this operation I explained here. The third is the following. For all, say, in N, there exists a family. I'm going to denote it by H to J plus 1. For all J, I consider this family. This is consist of some, they are not all, are some, F1, FD. Each FI belongs to K. And the others is that F1, FD is F to J plus 1 admissible. Now, there exists for each, I locate, I don't say right now how we locate this. I mean, this you have to play, I mean, this is an important point where each time you try to locate, probably with a different way. This is what we shall call each such sequence FD is an 2J plus 1 special sequence. Okay? And now, I also include in K the result of this operation, the odd operation of such a sequence. Then, for all special sequence which belongs to this set, 1 theta 2j plus 1 summation I equals 1 up to d f I belongs to the set K. That's the definition. I forgot something also. And each one of them belongs to K. What else? This, if we add this. What? Here? I define, that's a definition. I define this is not everything. This is not everything, but it's a concrete family. It's a some family. I mean, this is somehow restricted. I don't say that I include everything here.
There should be a
subset. Of what? No, I don't understand the question. Once again. You probably make it much more clear. Yes. It's a subset of this set, and then for all these, we have this. Thank you. It's better to write it this way. Yes. So, first of all, why such a minimal set exists? You can produce by induction. You start from G, you apply all these operations on G, then locate anything which you want to set here, whatever means this is a little bit dark here. Okay. And then you apply the odd operations, and you get some result. And you continue again and again. However, I think that Ted and Thomas, they have a general argument explaining why all the time we can arrive to a minimal set. Am I okay? Yeah. which is, I think, in their paper, you can look if someone is interested in this, in 2000. Okay? So, there exists such a set. Now, use this set now to define a norm. So our norm is defined by, is going to be nothing else but the supremum of the inner product F such that F belongs to the set K. And of course, X, you pick some X on C0, 0, kappa. No, it is symmetric. It is symmetric. It's not necessary. Absolutely. Okay, now, an alternative definition of this norm. The norm of X, say star here, is the maximum of norm of X, G. Norm of xg is exactly the same what I wrote here, simply defined by g. And then you take a dub supremum up to j, and here you take supremum for all e1 less ed, and this is family is f2j admissible. And now you sum up, multiplied by theta 2j summation I equals 1 up to d, e I x, the star norm, like in Schirason space. And this I mean by this, this, let me put it correctly, these are intervals. Okay? These are intervals. You take the intervals and then you restrict there. And then you take the supremum, the maximum, with f of x such that f is special functional. I'm going to tell you what's special functional. Now, each one of them is called a special functional. 2j plus 1 special function. No, 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 excuse me. Each one of them, these things here, everything resulting from a sequence which lives inside of here, okay? So let us stay. Always empty. At the very beginning, contains nothing. I mean, I will explain you, you will see what is this. This is quite dark, but when we will go to a concrete definition, you will understand better. But let me comment a little bit this definition, I mean, because there is something I want to tell you about this. First, observe that here I have three components, okay? The norm G, I have this component, and I have the axiom of the special functional. Essentially, each component comes from 1, 2, and 3 I wrote there. Yes, it is the same, yes. How you put it, this, f comma x, yes. Okay. Now, what's the role of each one of them? First of all, let me start with the G norm. I call this as ground norm. And G as a ground set. And what's the role of this? The role of this essentially has to do that it contains some initial data inside of it, that we want to preserve it at the resulting space. So you put there some initial data, and then you expect some of them or all of them be preserved in the result space. Let me give you a good example where this thing is used. There is a theorem with Tollas, which says the following, that if X is separable and L1 does not embed into X, then there exists Y HI such that X is a quotient of Y, and moreover, X star embeds complement into Y star. That is this theorem here. To prove this theorem, essentially, you construct its time. I mean, you start with, first of all, let me tell you quickly, I mean, why this assumption is necessary, because if you have a quotient from Y to X and L1 embeds into X, then also the consequence is that you can pick back, I mean, to lift X, L1 from here to here, so L1 is going to contain here, so this space is not possible to be HI. If you want something which HI does not contain some conditional basic sequence, so it is not possible to have L1 here. So this necessary, but it is sufficient also. And what you are doing in the construction, you take G is related to the structure of the space X. I mean, you start with X, you find an appropriate G, and then you build a norm where you use this set G. And here I want to set a problem related to what I'm going to present, of course, is, I mean, I'm interested to if there exists such an extension for spaces of dimension omega 1. So if X is reflexive and dimension of X is equal omega 1, does there exist Y not containing unconditional basic sequence at and X is a quotient of Y? For this general problem, I have no idea what to do. I mean, there are many, many difficulties. However, I believe that there is a chance for spaces like this, or LP of omega 1. But still, it's a feeling. I mean, there is no proof. But this space has a chance. The general case, I don't think, it seems to me quite a difficult problem, this one. Okay. Now, I finish with the very first part, which is this one. I want also to say something more with this. I mean, you are going to play a game with some initial data here, and all this thing here is going to produce the conditional structure. Now, this game must be fine. I mean, because if G is very strong with respect to this thing here, then the G norm is going to dominate everything. You will never see the conditional structure. Also, if this is very strong with respect to this G, then probably it's going to destroy all the initial data you want to transfer to the final space. So you have to play a fine game between these two things. Okay. Now, what about the other two? The other two are also interesting because it includes a philosophy which is related also to what I wrote here, of this thing here. Let's go to the second one. If you look at the definition here, when we define by using 2J operations. We make no restriction on these families. So this definition is very unconditional. You don't make any restriction. Whatever you need, you are going to take and to perform the sum. The other definition is the conditional one. There, I'm very careful what I'm going to sum by using that, by using the odd operation. Now, let me tell you two words why that thing is necessary. You want to kill unconditionality on every block sequence. So you have a block sequence x1, x2, xk, and you want to kill the unconditionality here. When you say you want to kill the unconditionality, it means the following, that you can find some vectors, y1, which, y2, y3, etc., such that if you take the sum of all of them to get something as norm, but if you play with the signs, such that if you take the sum yi I equals 1 up to sum d, the norm of this divided with the sum minus 1 to I plus 1, probably up to, yes, fine, minus yi, this thing here you want to go to up here, to infinity, meaning that for each number you can find this, you can find the number at some vectors doing this. Now, what I want to tell you is that what I wrote here, it's absolutely necessary to be done. I mean the following. This situation here cannot prove it for the original family here. First, you have to locate some vectors, this one, this one, this, and then on this to play the game. Now, to locate these vectors, you use exclusively two. Three plays no role to locate that vector. Three is going to enter the game in the last thing where this is going to, there is something hidden here for three. There is some F1, some F2, some F3, which a special sequence, and then this going to estimate from one side this that's going to be big, and then you have to show that the other is going to be small. This is the general approach you have. So two is used to produce the basic stones in order to come free to tell you that the space does not have an unconditional basis. Okay? So this is the general definition, and somehow I have explained. Now I'm going to define our space. I'm going essentially, I can erase this thing, create some space. I'm going to erase this thing. And this also. Okay. Now, the definition K for the space x omega 1. Okay, if we look, we have essentially to locate several things. First of all, we have to locate G, F, J, theta, J. Our set here, G, is nothing else but plus minus the smallest one. Now, what is Fj? Each FSA is nothing else but a family AnyJ, which is nothing else but this by all subsets of omega 1 with cardinality of F less or equal of nij. And theta j is some numbers 1 over mj. Now, I want to write a few relations between these numbers, how we define nj, mj, which nothing, okay, it is necessary to have certain definition of them, but I'm not going to use them, but simply to write down. So m1 is equal to 2, mj plus 1 is equal or greater or equal to mj to the power 5. And also n1 is equal to 4, and then you define that nj plus 1 is 4 times nj to the power sj, where? Let me recall it. Yeah. 2, where 2 to the power j is greater or equal to mj plus 1. Okay. Meaning the following, okay, mj is increasing, it's increasing quite fast, but you want nj to increase much faster than mj. I mean, what you could observe is that each time mj is much more or less than the corresponding number in J. Okay? These are simply some condition, initial conditions. I'm not going to show you where we use these things. Just we want to keep it here. Now, okay. So this is the initial thing. I have to make a comment. Okay. Let me write here. If kappa is a countable ordinal, then there are many families which can be used. You can use, for example, Schreier families on omega, especially we use very frequently Schreier families. But on omega 1, what the only families we can use are these families. Or if you want, you can do several things at the very beginning from one point, and after you have to use these small families. The reason is that if you have a kind of spreaded family on omega 1, because the gaps between, and you have some intervals here, and which is FJ admissible. Okay, you have some intervals with space between them infinite. Then essentially, you can insert, if the families are spreading, you can insert here as big as you wish elements of the family FJ, so the whole thing becomes L1. I mean, it is not something, I mean, at least in my understanding, it's not easy to use something different in the big spaces than the family AJ. On omega 1, on kappa, excuse me, on omega 1 seems difficult to use something different than AN or subsequence of A. Okay, so if I locate G, if I locate AJ, if I locate theta J, then I have finished up to that point. One and two is clear. What I remain to explain is how I'm going to define a 2j plus 1. Okay. So here is essentially I'm going to deal with number 3. We begin by a set Q denoted by S consisting of the following. Consisting of finite sequence, I'm going to tell you what it is, or finite sequence of this form, a sequence P1 less than P2 less than PD, and another sequence which is Q1 less than Q2 less than QD. Okay? I consider all these things such that each phi belongs to C00N. I came back to the natural numbers, and Fi at the end belongs to the rational to the rational numbers, and these are each pi, qi are natural numbers. So I consider this set denoted by qs, and I consider an injection sigma which starts from qs going to the even numbers and satisfy an increaseness property, namely what I want. Okay, let us put here it such denote f with a vector. So it, what I want this is be quite bigger on some initial data included here. For example, this is greater than the maximum, the following maximum, the maximum of the support of the varied element of FD, of PD, of QD, and probably I can set here and all the numbers 1 over Fi n such that n belongs to the support of Fi. Something like this. I take as big as you wish. Say, for example, that square root of this is bigger than this. Something like this. This is enough. Take the square root of this bigger than this. Okay? So I have located this one to one. Now, I'm going to recall a few things, at least, which is necessary, from yesterday's Stivo's talk concerning, I'm going to insert a few things concerning the function rho and the enclosure of a set. Okay, let me start with the following definition. The definition says the following, that take any G which is subset of omega 1. Oh, before of this, I need a notation. If F is subset of omega 1, I have defined as NF be the maximum of rho alpha beta, alpha less than beta in F. And I denote also as CF be the maximum of the set F. And F is find. Of course, f is find. Okay. Now, definition: the G subset of omega 1 is n closed if maximum of G belongs to G, which is Xg belongs to G, and G is equal to the set of all A such that the distance, the rho of A Xg is less or equal to n. This is the definition, at least what I found. I mean, I don't know. There is several definitions, but I found this is probably, I mean, define the enclosure of the set. This is okay, Steve? Okay. Yes. 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 Now, some properties. Properties proved yesterday. The first property is, which probably the most important, that each G enclosed is finite. You never can find a G which has these properties and it is infinite. And let me write here, and for all A less than B in G, the distance of these two is less or equal also to N. Okay. The second property is the following. I mean, satisfy properties of closure, namely, what? No, no, no. What's the question? What? No, no, because I assume that the supremum belongs there. The supremum belongs to G. If the supremum belongs to G, and I take the enclosure of G, this must be finite. Am I okay, Steve? Could occur something which is infinite, but the supremum does not belong to. Let me put it in this way. The supremum of G is equal to Xg, it belongs to G. Then the enclosure is going to give you a finite set. Because that's the main part, yes. The condition one it was describing. Okay, you have to use, of course, the others. Condition one describes exactly this. The second property is that for all ordinals alpha, if you consider the intersection of this, let me write. If G is enclosed, alpha less than omega 1, then G intersection alpha is also enclosed. And the third is the important condition that we are going to use is that if F comma G are enclosed, then the intersection of them is enclosed. Hence, this means exactly that they are intersect in initial segments. Okay, so we have these three properties. We are going to keep this here. We are going to. Oh, there is something more I want to tell. For F subject of omega 1 finite and N greater or equal than F, NF is the maximum here. The enclosure of F is all alpha such that the distance of alpha. Okay, the empty set is always. Okay. The enclosure of F or alpha such that rho alpha from Xf is less or equal to F. Okay, this is a notation more or less. Okay. Now I'm going to describe the special functionals now. So first of all, start with the 2j plus 1 special sequences. You start with some F1. Okay. Before going here, I had to say, excuse me, but sometimes there are so many things. Let me explain something. From the minimality of K, each F which belongs to K, this is an explanation in the very general definition. So this you have to add at the end of the very general definition. Either F belongs to the set G, or F is of the form theta J summation Fi. So in the second case, we denote by WF 1 over theta J. And this is the weight of F. Okay? This is the weight of F. So in our case, for example, the weight is, in this case, weight of F is MJ. Now, so given 2J plus 1, we begin we choose F1, which belongs to K, with weight of F1 be bigger than N2J plus 1 squared. We will see later why we start so far. So we start with this. So I have this number, and I can choose this. You see the game we play? We play a game. This is clear. There exists something like this, okay? I start. Meaning that essentially F1 is 1 over, and this is, let me write, M2J plus 1. 1 over M2J plus 1 summation Fi. I equals 1 up to N, or up to some D, and D less or equal to N to 2J1. Okay? So this is, I start with an F which belongs to K. F is finite support, is it somewhere, okay? What I'm doing next? Next, we choose we choose a number capital N 1, which is bigger by bigger or equal by N F, F1, where F1 is the support of the functional F1. So you are giving me a functional F1, I look the support, and I choose a number which is bigger or equal to the number NF1, NF1 I have written here is the maximum of the row distances. Okay? Okay. Now, I set G1 be the new enclosure of F1. Okay? So I have arrived, I started with the set F1. Here is sitting the functional F1. And then I took the closures. This is going to give me a bigger set. Now, what I'm going to do is the following, which is much less than Stevo did yesterday, and I will explain you what it is, why it's less. I'm going to identify G1 with the numbers from 1, 2, up to the cardinality G1. So in a natural way, I mean preserving the order. If I do this, then F1, which is a functional sitting with support here, is going to a functional F1 bar 1. Okay? So the important thing here is that starting with this, if I wanted F1 to set it here without taking the closure, then probably the best thing I had to do is to put it at the beginning. I'm not going to put it at the beginning. I'm going to put it somewhere inside where the famous G1 is going to come. Where is it? Okay? Now, if this city there, then I can look sigma of F1, and then I take as P1 the weight of F1, and then I take as P2 the number capital N1 before, and this is going to give me 2J2. Okay? This gives me 2J2, and now we consider any F2 with weight F2 equals M to J2. And I'm going to play again the same game, a little bit faster. So I have F1, F2, set capital F2, the support of F1, union the support of F2. Now take N2 greater than the maximum of NF2 and N1, greater or equal. Say greater, better. Yeah, I understand what you say. You mean to little n, I don't understand. I used little n to denote the maximum. I use it here. Probably, okay. Yes, I have to take the maximum. Yes. Okay. Probably I have to take bigger than here. Then I consider the set G2, which is F2, N2 closure. And then, again, from G2, I'm going to 1 up to the cardinality G2. Then, F1 is going to F1, 2, and F2 is going to F2, 2. And here there is an observation I want to make. I make the following observation, which is interesting and not important, but probably these two things may be different. I mean, where you sit in F1 from the very first probably is going to sit in a different position when comes in the second, because the second is bigger and probably is going to put points behind of the support of F1. I mean, it's moving, it's time, F1, but doesn't matter, I mean, it's going to work. Okay? Now, you take sigma of F1 to F2, and then I put here weight of F1, this unchanged, this is important, weight of F2, and then I put also the numbers N1 and 2, and I take the sigma of this, and this is going to give me 2J3. And but no, I don't want this. No. No, but all the time, you see, this is modeling. Each copy, I use it to locate the next number. Does not have to do with the interaction between the things. I mean, the things are, in the real world, you have F1, you have F2, you have FK. What? Sigma, it's a nice function on a countable set. I cannot have sigma on sets which are not countable, so nice. Sigma is 1-to-1 there. This thing is moving, it's going somewhere. This thing is moving, it's going somewhere. And suppose that sigma of F1, FK, and the others is equal to the sigma of G1, GK, and the others, okay? This tells me, if these are equal, this tells me that this is sitting in the same position with this, by definition. The numbers here are here, everything is the same. So in this stage, tells you something. Now, so you have F1 bar equals G1 bar, etc. K bar equals K bar. The important thing is that this information here tells you how these are sitting between them. And these are sitting up to some point are coincide, and from that point and after, I'm completing the joint. So, I mean, it's the important thing that from this equality here in the models, I take information with the relation of these two things in the real world. You see, that's a really important thing. Because there I have to work. I mean, the models, all these things are going to disappear. Where I'm going to work, I'm going to work here. Here I'm going to compute things. And somehow, this is the canonicity I said yesterday. I mean, it's not 1-to-1, but at the moment that these two animals are equal, I have some information how these two things are sitting between them. Okay. Yeah. Excuse me? Yes. Yes, F2. Where? Yes. Okay. Now, now it is clear that, let me go here to continue. Clear that we can continue up to fn to j plus 1. So the special sequence is f1, f2, fn to j plus 1. What? No, no, no. Here is a number of functions. Here is a, because I'm playing with and the complexity now tells me that each time I have to take up to this number of functions. I mean, this was I can do it this because look, one of the properties, I don't have to say this, yes, definitely. But I say the following, that the very first property, K-symmetric, it's closed on the restrictions on the intervals. So if I construct all this, and then I produce then I have to take all the restriction also plus minus on this. This is going to create many, many things. Okay? In order to produce the symmetricity and to be closed. This is the whole family, the whole real family of special functionals. But let me play exactly with this, I mean, to decrease a little bit the complexity. Okay? So that's the definition. And as we have discussed it yesterday, was explained by Stevo, the situation here, okay, let me explain once more. The relation between two n to j plus 1 special sequences. Okay? The relation I can write, I have written in my notes here. I can write the relation. Okay, what's the relation? Okay, given to n to j plus 1 special sequences. Okay? Then set I0 be the minimum of all I such that the weight of Fi is different than the way of GI. Then we have the following properties. The first property tells you the following, which is easiest. The weight, if you look the set weight of Fi, I greater or equal to I0, and you intersect this with the set weight of GI, I greater or equal to I0, these two sets are empty. And this is easy. This is easy because sigma in the models counts the weights. So if a weight appears different, I say that from this point and after, if you take the minimum weight which are different, from this point and after all the weights are different. And the reason is that sigma, where is sigma? Okay, if you look sigma in the definition, here is weight of F1, here is weight of FT. These are the sequences. Are some functions, some weights. When I'm coming from the real world to the model, the weight remains. So if a weight is different here, then definitely the two sequences are different. So this is easy. If you put the weights inside, you don't need the rest of the properties to establish. That's easy one. Now the good things are coming from the next. The second is there exists some ordinal A such that for all I, say, less or equal to I 0 minus 2, for all I less or equal to I 0 minus 2, Fi restricted on A is equal to Gi restricted on A. Probably it's going to give you 0, some of them. But definitely, from this, if you restrict there, okay, for example, if A is here, if alpha is here, and Fi is here, means that this is 0, okay? This is the first. And also, and the second, and C, for the same I, for the signal, excuse me, for the same alpha, the support of Fi restricted on the complement of alpha. Intersection with the support of Fi restricted on the complement of alpha is equal to empty. Gi, yes, Gi. Okay. What tells you this? Tells you what we have said several times up to here. Here is alpha and here is the pixel is like this. The things are exactly the same. Here is Fi, here is Gi. F1, G1, F2, G2 are exactly the same up to this. Here should be something like this. Here you don't know. Here could be the case that you have something which is splitting or they are splitting completely. Now they are continuing. Here is Gi0 minus 2, Fi0 minus 2, meaning that the supports from this point down, that's alpha, are disjoint. Precisely everything is disjoint, but what you care most of them is the relation between any two of them. And then you have at the point Gi0 minus 1, Fi0 minus 1, and Gi0 minus 1, here you have a darkness. They have the same weight, but probably one meets the other. Okay? Here you have some darkness here. And this, from this point, the darker, the weights are completely different. Okay? So, the very good thing, the rather good thing, some darkness here, probably you have some problem also here. You have, when you are going to compute, probably you are going to have the problem. Okay? Now, okay. This is the definition. And now let me explain you a little bit. What? I don't understand one. Yes, there are much more, but what you care when you are going to compute, you care about this. You don't care about the rest. the rest are going to be small because for unconditional reasons. Definitely, there are several things here. You are correct. I mean, there I wrote simply that the support of this and the support of this are disjoint. The reality is that all these are disjoint from all these. But it doesn't matter. I mean, what you cares is for these two. And I will explain you a little bit later. Now, let us discuss a little bit now how we are going to kill the unconditionality. I'm going to give you a definition. I mean, this is not standard definition, but I found it interesting to go through this, because, I mean, I cannot prove. I mean, if you give me 4 hours or 5 hours, I can prove it, but I cannot prove it. And so, but I believe that I can explain you what happened here. So the definition is the following. A pair X, F is said to be M to J strict pair. If the following holds. The first is that norm of X is less or equal to 10. The second is that the weight of F is equal M to J. The third is F of X is equal to 1. And the fourth and fifth are the most important, says the following. For all G which belongs to K, with weight of G less than M to J, T of X is less than 10 times over weight of G. And for all T which belongs to K, weight of G greater than M to J. Absolute value of this. T of X, absolute value is less than something like 10. Times weight of F divided by weight of G. Okay? That's a strict pair. M to J strict pair. Now, what is this? Why this is important? It is important for the following reason. But, yes. You have a vector which is of bounded norms. And this is semi-normalized by a functional F with weight M to J, okay? The important thing that I have very good, very small upper estimations for this vector, for all the other functionals with different weight than the weight of the functional F. This is small number. This also is small number because if you remember, if I'm going back in the definition, I mean, you remember that M to J plus 1 is equal to, or greater or equal to, M to J to the power of 5. So all these here are smaller than 1 over M to J to the power of 5. All these. Okay? And here is something which is small. Now, what is this? Now, this is something which you obtain from the unconditional structure of the space. The special function plays no role in order to obtain this thing here. And this essentially was obtained for first time by the guy here, Thomas, in his space, And he did it. The basic ingredient, you remember I told you at the very beginning, when I start with something, I have to produce first the basic stones and then to produce the special functional. The basic stones are exactly such M to J strict pairs. Okay? This is very important. Thomas used this in order to show you that his space is arbitrarily distortable, and also used by Gauss-Morey, and also this thing in one or the other way is used everywhere in the constructions of HI spaces. Yes, yes, this is the next thinker. The fact is, I did not say you are absolutely right, that every block sequence for every block sequence and every block sequence at every J in V, there exist X F X F M to J strict pair with X belongs to the linear span of XK for every block sequence XK. You can find this everywhere. I'm going to keep this, I'm going to erase this thing here. A kind of exercise, the following, that I'm going to give you an application. Suppose that M to J is greater than N to J plus 1. Doesn't matter. I don't need this. Do not write this. Suppose that this is a n or 2j plus 1 special sequence. Xf is m to j strict pair with m to j different, with m to j different than weight of Fi for I less than or equal N to J plus 1. Suppose that we have a special sequence. You remember the very first one, start the weight of F1 is greater than N to J plus 1 square. And then you have this. Then I claim that if you compute the sum I equals 1 up to n to j plus 1 fi on this x, you are going to get something which is smaller or equal to 1 over n to j plus 1. Unbelievably small. And here, that's why I explained before that it doesn't matter what the others are.